my view is that a citizen should not vote if he's going to vote badly. And by voting badly, I mean something like this. You vote badly when you vote for a candidate that is likely to support unjust or likely to implement unjust or harmful policies, or if you're voting directly for policies, as sometimes happens with referendas, you shouldn't vote for policies that are likely to be unjust or harmful. I don't think you have an obligation to vote, but if you do vote, you shouldn't vote badly.
It's difficult for voters to know when a policy is going to be harmful, though, because usually you can only find out after the event.
That's true. And if that's the case, if you don't have enough information to really assess a policy, then that might get you off the hook. But it might depend on why you don't have that information. So sometimes the information is available. You could have taken some basic economics courses or basic sociology courses or things like that, or been taught these things in your secondary school. And if you're not able to assess it, it's just because you haven't put in the work to make the assessment. Other times, though, we just don't have any idea ahead of time, in which case you might be taken off the hook for voting badly.
I mean, very few people have that sort of expertise, to be honest. I mean, should most people therefore abstain from voting?
It's hard to say. It might very well be the case. I tend to think that the level of justification needed or expertise needed to say vote well ends up being probably about 30 to 40% of the population is probably in a position to vote pretty well. You know, here in the United States, that's probably about the level of participation that we seem to get. I don't think it's very likely that very few people ever vote well. I think it's probably more common than not. But on the other hand, it might just turn out to be that, you know, there's an obligation not to vote badly, and it turns out that most people violate this duty, in which case, you know, they have to ask themselves whether it's better for them to change how they vote and maybe put in more work into assessing policies and things when they come to the polls.
What about a candidate's personality? If a voter votes on the basis of a candidate's personality, are they voting badly?
I tend to think that personality can be relevant, certainly at the extremes. If you can figure out that somebody is a sociopath or a known liar or things like that, then you have evidence that he's not going to keep his promises and he is likely to take advantage of power for his own sake or for the sake of people close to him and things. So personality can be one of many factors in deciding whether somebody is a good candidate. However, it's not the only factor, and sometimes it can be irrelevant. I mean, after you get sort of the extreme kind of really, really awful people out of the way, if you're just simply voting on the basis of character, well, that's important only insofar as it's a reliable guide to imposing or getting good governance. You can have a very virtuous person who simply, due to a lot of mistakes he's made about reasoning about economics or something, ends up implementing disastrous policies. Or you could have a person with excellent political skills who, for the same reasons, just happens not to know what the good policies are. So he's very good at getting bills passed, but unfortunately they're not the right bills.
A lot of the time people vote for a candidate whose policies they may not really agree with, but they just think that they're the least worst candidate.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and that can be the right thing to do sometimes. Suppose we have an election and it's going to be between Mussolini and Hitler, and I can't really do much to stop that. It would make sense in that election to vote for Mussolini. He will be the least worst one. And so often you are choosing choosing the lesser of two evils, and that can be the right thing to do. So it is certainly going to matter what your choices are.
Isn't the reality as well that people just vote for their own self-interest and not for the general good of society?
Yeah. I don't think people should do that. If you're in a poorly functioning democracy where everybody sees the government as a trough in which they just try to expropriate resources from others, and maybe if you're in a very dire circumstances like that, it might be okay to do. You might be able to vote defensively. But I think ideally speaking, if you're talking about a well-functioning democracy, you're talking about a social system under which the rules are justified to everybody. If you want it to be reasonable for everybody to abide by the rules, especially since the rules are being coercively enforced, you want the rules to be justifiable to everybody. And if that's going to be the case, then you want the rules to be something that tends to promote the interest of everyone.
If most people haven't got the information that they need in order to vote well and abstain from voting, as you suggest they should, we'll get a low turnout. But then that won't be very good for democracy, will it?
Well, what does it mean to be good for democracy? I mean, the question is, when you favor democracy, what exactly are you favoring? If you simply favor having 100% voting for its own sake, it's hard to say why you would favor that. It certainly would be terrible if 0% of people voted, and that you'd probably have all sorts of legitimacy problems, and the social system might break down. It would be wonderful also if you had 100% of people voting, and they were all voting well with the public interest in mind, with a lot of information and things like that, not on the basis of irrationality. But then what about everything in between? It's not so obvious that having, say, 30 to 40 or 50% of people voting and another 50% of people abstaining is a bad thing. So there might be something like an optimal level of participation. It's not zero, but it's not obviously 100% either.